Good morning. Good afternoon. Helen.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good.
And you?
Good. You got your appointment in and you got things squared away, or what was something adjust? We're on at 1:15 instead of 1, so that was...
Yeah, and I didn't realize that, actually. So I waited on the call for 10 minutes, and then they kicked me out because it said they were new host.
Okay.
I didn't look at the calendar. I just assumed it was like every other week. But I had a 12 o'clock call, and I think Janet forgot that that was a call and not an in-person meeting.
Oh, okay.
So... It was quicker than usual, but it shouldn't go more than an hour, for sure. So we talked about that, but that was after she rescheduled you. Sorry about that. I hope it didn't mess you up.
No, it actually worked just perfectly.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
So
how
how are you doing? And it's been 14 days, so... What happened in those 14 days?
14 days. A lot.
What?
A lot. Yes. I sent you an email. I don't know if you saw it, the email I received from the client who I talked to about gifting low-cost basis stock.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, and so he basically said, you saved me $16,000 in taxes, and I'm so angry with UBS. I'd like you to take over the $3 million that I have at UBS.
Oh, wow. Great story.
Yes. Great story. And as you said, I've been sharing the story.
Good.
And I think it's been beneficial. Yes, so very exciting. We haven't quite gotten there yet to doing it. It's like a moving target to get him in a place where we could get him to get us account numbers and, you know, all that good stuff. So the other thing with that client that happened this week was that Morgan Stanley has a magazine, and they were looking for people to feature with regard to their philanthropic endeavors, clients with great, and so I interviewed with them, and they were very interested in his story to publish it in the magazine, which just has him very excited.
Wonderful.
Because, yeah, great PR for his nonprofit. So that's great on the one client front, and then I work with another advisor here in the office who does primarily bonds, municipal bonds, and I've done some financial plans with him, and I've been doing management of some of his equities. We started doing that about a year ago, and I had a walk-in from one of my advertisements about 6 months ago, asking me if I dealt with municipal bonds and wanted somebody who was an expert in municipal bonds. So I brought Joe in as a partner in the account. And we told him our minimum was $1 million. So, and this is before you and I started. He brought in $1 million worth of bonds. And now we have $2.5 million, and we had a meeting with him last week, and, you know, basically told him that we needed to have everything, that all of his municipals, and I was interested in looking at his equities, and had a nice discussion with him about trust, and he signed an ACAT for his $6 million UBS account on Friday.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's a 50-50 shared relationship. That one's from an advertisement, which I'm just thrilled about.
Okay.
Yeah. Literally came in with the torn out page from the magazine.
Wow.
I'm working on a referral from a client from New York, who I met, and, you know, I'm going to try to see when I'm there. And I'm working on a referral from another client in New York who I haven't talked to, but I have an appointment to talk with tomorrow. So, I mean, I'm very busy. I went to Vero Beach yesterday to have lunch with clients and do their in-person meeting. And they're bringing me their Chase account now. And invalid option, I don't know what that means. So anyway, I've been very busy and I'm doing, you know, traveling and organizing and just going with the plan. And forcing people to do a little bit more than sometimes they want to do with me, like looking at a life view, cash flow analysis or talking about their charitable giving because of our monthly theme right now is tax efficient charitable giving, which you can understand why.
Yeah.
Strategies in it for charitable giving. And so I'm just super busy, which is really great, and actually bringing in assets, which is also really great.
So are you, but you feel good. I mean, you've gotten in out of the program what you were looking for. Are you looking for more?
Well, I'm always looking for more. That's a question you can't ask me. I'm always looking for more. I'm always looking for more. Now it's kind of there are lots of little things that I have conversations with you about, like my issue with clearly articulating the service model and developing the centers of influence. I did have a call on the way up to Vero yesterday with one of the centers of influence, which was one of my very good clients, CPAs. And so I basically, tell me about your business, tell me what kind of clients you're looking for. And then I had a little trouble with the transition into, let me tell you about me. I did tell him about me, but I think that maybe there, it wasn't smooth. It wasn't, I want to learn about you. I didn't start the conversation letting him know that it was going to be a two-way street. I want to hear about you,
okay.
And I want to tell you about me.
You don't have
yeah.
to. No, you don't have
okay.
to tell him that. I mean, that's a... Look, the reality is, it was a he, right?
Yes.
Is that, yeah. So, I mean, guys are pretty standard in the sense that they want to tell about them, right? And they want to talk about them. And they could spend the whole time talking about them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's just guys, right? I mean, they have big egos, and they want to tell, and you ask about them, they think you're wonderful, and so you win that way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Transitioning from them talking about, you know, they may, or it's like, it's funny. When I play golf with guys, I'll spend 18 holes and I'll know nothing about them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. It's so weird. And because I'm there to play golf. My wife plays golf with somebody, and by the end of 18 holes, she has everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay? She knows everything about everything. All the grandchildren's names and any of the medical issues and the whole family. And I mean, it's funny. You know, women mm-hmm. talk.
Yeah.
And guys don't. You know, they don't. They, you know, I played golf with a guy. I probably played golf with him four times, and I don't even know if he's married. You know.
There used to be a really good show in New York. It was a stand-up, and it was based on the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and the description of going into a party as a couple and coming out of the party as a couple. And it's like you've gone to two different parties.
It's true.
Yeah, it is.
I talked, actually, it was funny. I talked to a financial advisor and her partner, and she was talking about how easy it was to talk about the family and children. And I was like, and the guy was like, yeah, it's really easy to talk about the business and
Yeah.
It was like one felt really comfortable talking about the business, the other one felt very talked about kids. And it's just where they came from, you know? It's just
yeah.
So strange.
Yeah. So what about the golf course? I mean, how does that effective, do you think, for real? Because people talk about it all the time, that the golf course is an effective place.
It's very effective. It's not as great as, it's not effective to learn about people. It's effective to make friends. And then when you go in and have lunch, you find out about the person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So you can't just play golf because nobody talks when they play golf. Men don't.
Right.
They want to play golf. All right. It's distracting to try and concentrate on two things. So.
That's a man thing.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Women talk all the time. I mean, that's why the women drive together, you know, when we play mixed doubles or whatever you call it. Play couples golf. I usually drive with a guy and girls talk, and they're just they hardly have time to get out of the cart to go putt. You know, they're so busy.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
The guys are just like, you know, okay, anytime, here we go. So it is different. So when you think, how do I transition this guy to talking about me, you just have to do it. You just have to slam him a little bit in the side of the head sometimes and just go, oh, by the way, just so you understand what I do, boom, and just tell him, right?
That's kind of how it went, yeah.
And guys are good with that, by the way.
Okay.
You don't need some smooth transition with guys.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. I mean, that's not it. It's like, you know, he'd have kept going on for two more days about himself. You got to just, you know, whoops, sorry. Okay, let me tell you about my minimum. What I'm trying to do.
Yes.
You know, and he's like, oh, good, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I think it felt uncomfortable a little bit because he was talking and talking and talking and talking. And then I said, oh, well, you know, thanks so much for your time. It's great to hear about your business and his kids are in the business before and so on. And then I said, and I just went into me. And then I said, okay, well, I'm going to be sending you my information and details in a brochure, and I hope you'll do the same for me. And then let's be in touch, and maybe the next time we meet will be in person. And then he said, okay, that sounds great. Make sure you do some, send me an email. I said, okay, I will.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're fine. They're just,
okay.
You know, socially, they need to be led.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll do great with this. I mean, you lead them by the hand, tell them what you want them to do, and then hold them accountable for it. Treat them like an employee, swear to God. Just run the show. Because, you know, it's so interesting. I read an article I posted on LinkedIn about women in women in business and how they, CEOs, and what's the one key element. And it's the women that have been competing at the collegiate level in tennis or golf or tennis particularly, swimming, disciplined sports, do great in business because they are just, they get it. It's a sporting game, you know. It's not a, it's a business game. It's just takes whatever you learned in tennis, it's all from business. You know, it's all the same. And guys get that completely. And women often don't because they're too nice, they're too sweet, they're too patient, they want to wait for this. just not the right time, and guys are like, slam.
No. Yeah, and I think that that's the positive about being in management. Listening to a business plan or listening to a process from the guys in the office, it's way more black and white than gray. And my kind of just natural affinity would be more towards gray. It's like, are you going to be a client or not? Do I want you as a client or not? Would you be a good fit? Are you going to, it just is very like, and then if you're not, it's fine. We'll still play golf together or whatever the case may be. Whereas, I would be more, okay, I need to kind of build confidence. Then maybe, it's more dating. And then, if it doesn't work out, how will that be for our relationship? There's a lot more the gray matter in there for me. And I'm getting better about taking that out of the equation because it's not real gray matter. It's not like stuff that's really affecting a relationship or affecting my success. So I'm being better. Like, for instance, I wrote down a number for a referral wrong. And I called the number to see if I could see this referral when I was in New York. And I got a wrong number. Now, in my old way, a year ago, I would have felt like, oh, I can't ask him for the number again. He's going to think that, hopefully he'll mention it and I'll tell him, just wishy-washy. But I had the call with him today and I said, I didn't have my glasses on when I wrote down the number that you gave me. I need it again. And he said, okay. And then we had our call, our meeting, and then at the end I said, I need the number. But I'm telling you, even a year ago, if I had even asked for the number again the first part of the conversation, I never, ever would have said again, I need the number. It would have just been like, okay, well, that didn't work. He doesn't really want to give me the referral. So...
And he was fine, right?
He's like, hold on. Yeah, absolutely. 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 Yeah. And, I had another referral that I called and she didn't call back. And, again, I would have been like, well, she doesn't want to work with me. I'm not going to push it, and I want to embarrass him or whatever. And instead, I called him and said, look, can you facilitate a more personal introduction? Because she's not responding to me, and I don't blame her. She has no idea who I am. And he said, oh, absolutely. He's on the road, so it's kind of hard, but I'll keep doing it until I get the introduction.
See, and that business people respect the hell out of that.
I'm realizing that. Yeah. I mean, yes, I'm finally realizing that. And I'm also, the other thing that I'm realizing, too, is that in all of these circles, so whether it's my family, and we've discussed that, and referrals to my family, or it's friends, or it's whatever the circles are, in my club, or golf partners, if I don't establish myself, and this is a very new kind of aha moment for me, if I don't establish myself as not only the authority, but the risk take, like I'm willing to take the risk of being who I am, whether or not you're going to like it, because that's what I do, and that's why I'm successful, then I come across as wishy-washy, and who's going to refer somebody to a wishy-washy person in this business? So I've started to be like, with that person, that same person today on the call, I said, listen, your portfolio has been performing well, but not as well as it should be because you're always talking to me about things I'm doing and I, have discretion on the account. And I can't have that because I can't be thinking about what I'm doing and how you're going to react to it. So if you want me to do my job, I have to be able to do what I do. And I don't want to be thinking about your questioning my decisions with each trade that I do. And it was a really great moment for me because his reaction was, okay, you know, and he's a micromanager, and I don't think he wants to be a micromanager, but I think he's never had somebody take discretion, and so it's just habit, but I hadn't thought about that before. I thought, this is something he likes to do. Nobody likes to do that. He's retired, you know, this isn't what he wants to do. So I finally just kind of put my foot down today because I noticed I noticed that in the downturn this month, your portfolio is not doing as well as some of my others, and when I looked at your holdings, I realized I'm not being as aggressive with yours right now as I am with the others because I worry about that you like such and such a company and you don't want me to sell it. So I can't do that anymore. And so he was totally on board with that.
Wow. I think that's great. That's really good.
It's a huge difference. You know, it's like, and I think what I said before is really coming into play because, well, you know, I've always tried, I think where I've been lacking in the last 19 years is that I keep pairing myself with people that when I tried to be on teams, they didn't really want me to be there for the good conversation. So I was always kind of put in the background. And I had somebody that had asked me to join their team when I very, very early on, and my manager at the time in New York said, I don't want you trying to join the team until you've established yourself and you have the confidence because you'll get hurt. And he was right, and I didn't join that team, and then I came to Miami and I tried to join the team, and the guy who I didn't join in New York called me and said, I saw that you were joining this team. I don't think you should because they're going to put you in the background. And sure enough, that's what happened. I ended up being a PM manager, basically, for the team and not client-facing. And that, you know, that kind of hurt my confidence. And I don't blame it, but, you know, it's just part of the... But I always kind of was put in the background as not an authority on the team. My clients yesterday that I visited in Vero said, remember that first guy you worked for? And I said... Well, no, you know, I didn't work for him, but he just put me in the background, and so I just took that position, and I kind of decided I was fine with it, and I didn't build confidence over the last 19 years. So my mother-in-law, who started me in this business, was at my house last weekend, and she, when she retired, gave her book to her neighbor, and her reasoning was, you've only been in the business, you know, how long ago was that? 5 years. You've only been in the business 5 years. You don't know what you're doing yet. I can't give you my book of business.
Mm.
And it upset me, but I thought, good, because you know what? I don't want to be responsible for your livelihood. You're my mother-in-law, you know? So I kind of, like, went on with my life. This weekend, she was at my house, and I told her. I said, you know, I am finally confident enough to tell you that that was a mistake.
Right.
And I said, what, you know, now, 20 years later, I know that I know what I'm doing. And she said, well, you haven't been in the business 20 years. I said, well, okay, I'm in my 20th year. And then that was the argument. She just went with that. But it was kind of, this is new. This is within the last 2 months for me.
Wow.
That I can have those conversations.
You think it was a conversation that we had that got this going, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, yeah, and I think that it's, you know, it's this whole idea about coaching, right? So
mm-hmm.
My sister is a middle school counselor in Abu Dhabi, and I was talking with her on my drive yesterday. I did a lot of talking on my drive yesterday. Talking with her on my drive yesterday about my son. And she was saying, you know what, he may need a coach for this and that and this and that because he just needs to, and it was the same thing. She was saying he needs a confidence coach. He needs somebody that can come, that he can go to and say, I don't feel good about this about myself, and that coach would help him see it in a different perspective. And help him and push him out there and say, go take this risk, go take that risk in a very positive way And then he can do it with the feeling that somebody's back there supporting him. And then he comes back saying, oh my gosh, wow, I actually didn't die. And people don't hate me. You know, they respect me more.
Right.
And that's what it's about to me. It's the same exact concept.
I don't know if I told you this, but I coached another gal in your complex, and we have had the same exact kind of conversations, and she's doing amazingly well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this kind of thing. She just was having some problems framing what it was that she was doing and positioning herself in a more assertive way. And she's doing great. But it was she has problems with, you know, how do I frame what I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and make it something that, because she just, you know, it was all hesitation. It was all excuses. It was all everything but the real deal. And it was dealing with her fear. It's what it comes down to. You know,
absolutely.
Overcoming it and then doing it. And now she's just like on fire. It's unbelievable. It's like a
mm-hmm.
transformation. So that my question, I guess, is this something we should do then? We should counsel, particularly
mm-hmm.
women. Do you think it's women?
Oh, yeah. I do think it's, and this is interesting because have you heard of Portfolio Manager Institute? Portfolio Management Institute. It's only Morgan Stanley Advisors, but it's an organization.
No.
I belong to and used to serve on the board. We get together once a year, and it's a peer-to-peer. You know, we have a lot of round tables and some great keynote speakers and whatever, and some of it's like, they have Ashley, is that the guy from California who does coaching? Anyway, he used to come to it.
Yeah, Matt Oxley.
Oxley. He used to come. But they tried to do, like, women's group round tables. And I just found it to be 100% let's whine about our gender, about being our gender. Like,
yeah.
This is not effective for me. I don't have time for this. So I stopped participating in that at all. But yes, I would say that the fact that we on my review this year from Kevin McCarty, it says, and he's very proud of the wording, he says. He keeps telling me he's very proud of the wording. It says that I struggle with my fear of not having good work-life balance. In my own opinion.
Hmm. Huh.
To me, that was like, what? You know, I made a mistake. I spoke to you as a friend. I need to be more of a man. I need to be like I said before, black and white. This is my job, and that is my home. Two very separate things when I'm here. And, you know, it's kind of a shame, but that's, and it's hard for us. We're nurturing people. So we want to share things about our home. We want to, you know, 2 years ago I went to a management conference and Kevin was there. And on the way to San Diego, my brand new nanny quit and left my son in South Miami on the other side of the earth for us, traffic-wise. Left him at a theater.
What?
And he was 7 years old. And luckily my husband happened to be in a clinic down there seeing patients and was able to go get him. But it was this, I'm halfway to San Diego changing planes, and I get this long text from this woman saying, this is the most ridiculous job. I'm not doing this drive ever again. I'm not taking your son home. I'm leaving. And leaves my son. He was in a safe place. But I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I say to Kevin, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. My nanny just quit and left my son in South Miami. And he looks at me and says, sounds like rich people problems.
Oh God.
And I looked at him and I was like, that's it, and just walked away. And then the next time I saw him, he telling me about his dog having had surgery. And I was like, but that is right. That is exactly what Sheryl Sandberg writes about, is these kind of things happening. So what do? We just kind of, we lose our confidence, because you know what? That's a blow. It's your real life struggle. You're there. You're present. You're part of it. You're a manager. You're in this management conference. That's a blow. You're saying, I'm here. I can't do anything about that, but I'm going to orchestrate getting that taken care of while still being here and being a part of this this organization and this meeting. You don't get credit for that. You get comments like that. And that's, you know, I'm not going to sit around in a group of women and whine about it, but I think that the thing that needs to be done is that we just need to realize that that makes our value triple. Because when I meet with my client yesterday in Vero, and she's telling me about her woes with her niece and whatever, I'm going to be more empathetic to her than the guy down the street. He's going to be like, sign the documents, dude. Just sign them. So it's a huge benefit, and that's okay, but we also have to find our voice and say, sign the documents.
Right. Right. No, that's right. Yes. You can be empathetic, you can listen, and then you've got to get them to sign the documents.
Yes. So
you can't say, well, she's having a tough day, so I'll do this later.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And right, exactly. And the woman I was with yesterday, she owns a ton of real estate in New York, has a real estate company. She's a tough cookie. She's made all of her money herself. She's tough. So for me to sit there and, oh, and her husband's got dementia now and talking, oh, blah, 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 da, 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 hey, I need you to sign this. I need some answers, some questions, and you need to listen to me about your estate and trust situation. You know, it needs to happen. But it's so easy for us to not feel the confidence that we're going to be okay when we get into that tough conversation, because we've not been okay so many times. Because things happen to us like happened to me. And, you know, again, I'm not here to wallow in it, but I'm here to learn from it. That crushed me. Like, those conversations crushed me. But I think that your coaching and that review sent me into a whole other thing, because the review said to me, be tougher. Don't allow this to sidetrack you. You know, don't let them get you down. Just, you know, be yourself and be tough. And your coaching is helping me find the voice. To say what I need to say. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the situation. What are the words I should use? Okay, here are the words. Now go do it.
Yeah.
And you got and did it. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now
that's
fine. Keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether did Nico talk to you about sharing this, or sharing your coaching, or share—I don't know what you want to share, or can share, or should share—but part of the meeting we're going to be having is to try and get other people to realize the value of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm telling you seriously, this gal that I worked with was seriously lost, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now she's doing great. You know what that's worth to a company to
mm-hmm.
turn somebody around? It's literally worth hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, you know, what do we share? How do we share? How do we get that message across that it's not about 1242? It's about, yes, that can be hugely helpful to somebody, and getting organized and staying organized and having a strategy. But it's, you know, it can't be done with a video. You know, each person's problems are going to be unique, and the words that, and the understanding is the coaching part of it, you know, and helping. So I don't know. I throw that out there. If I don't know if Nico's asked you to speak or not, or
he mentioned it. I am. coming back from Colorado on Thursday. So,
Did I talk to you about that? I think I did. We said.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to be back by then, but now I'm. It looks like I'm going to be back. So.
Yay! Well, that's awesome.
That should be fun.
Will you call him then? Would you call him and just say, "Hey, I'm going to be back." I think, and you know, you don't have to share this part of your story clearly, but you can just, you know, share what you feel like sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's made a difference in terms of where you are. I think, you know, I feel great that you're where you are, and I think, you know, look, the reality is all human beings are going around this planet as scared little kids, you know, and how do we get past all that, right? You know, and do this crazy job. You know, this is a job where you're putting yourself on the line all the time. And you know, so how do you have the courage to keep going and playing to win versus playing not to lose and stepping up and thinking decisively and making decisions like a leader and helping people grow up and make better choices? You know, that's what we do. And so that, you know, how do you do that in the crazy world? And I mean, I think your story without your personal side of it is still a great story of how you've gotten organized and gotten yourself really together here.
Yeah, and I'm telling you all of this stuff because we've talked about the part about being a woman versus a man, but it's not necessarily just that way. I mean, that's how it is for me. But I think that anybody would say that they need the push of, like, whatever the angle is, whether it's...
Right. I have a guy that's doing the same thing right now. I mean, he's doing everything right except clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everything right. And he's fabulous at everything. He's got a list of prospects. I said, you know, you got to get in front of people. He said, you're dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, get in front of people and call them. Get a bunch of notes. I want 8 appointments. That's what I told this girl. I said, 8 appointments a week I want from you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she's doing it. She's just doing it. And he's not. He's just not there. He just cannot get himself to get 8 appointments. He's,
mm-hmm.
Well, I'll call this guy in 2 weeks. I said, what's going to happen in 2 weeks? Call him now. Call him today.
Right.
Get an appointment for Friday. You know, move it.
Yep.
Create the urgency. So it isn't a man-woman thing, trust me. I got a bunch of the others. The same thing on the guy side of things. They'll never tell you.
I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure.
Right.
I've seen it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I've definitely seen it. I mean, you know, just when you look at the situation with a lot of these guys who are kind of stuck in a rut, and they just can't get out of it because they just won't allow themselves to see from a different perspective. I mean, I've seen
it's
that.
All fear. It's rituals created over time that have sustained them, and anything changed to those rituals, they think the whole thing will fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
that's for sure.
This is all fear. It's all fear-based. That's all fear. You know, it's not rational. Of course, it's not going to fall apart. You call your clients more, it's not going to fall apart. Reassign a couple of clients, you think they're going to all hate you because you assigned 2 clients to somebody else? All the rest of your clients are going to call and say, oh, Rob Knapp become too cocky, you know.
Yes. I actually had a client, a woman, this week who I wouldn't take as a client now, but I think she could be a good client in the long run. But I told her the story, and I said, I now have a minimum. I gave her $1 million because she's at like 700 and she's only about a client a year. So I said, $1 million minimum. And so we're going through everything, and I show her her net worth, including her homes and her apartments and whatever. And she said, oh, I make your minimum. I said, no, not really. I said, it's $1 million investable that I would be investing. And, you know, it seems like, oh. But it was like I said, 6 months ago, I would have been like, yes, yes, you do. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I'm say this. And this is another woman who's a tough woman. She's
right.
She was a big-time Latin America rep for, managed the whole Latin America for international paper. You know, she's no dummy. She's, like, smart, and she's quick, and she's tough. She's tough. But, you know, I was like, no, sorry, you don't.
Like, right. So find some more money. Move that other account over here.
And she did. She rolled her 401k.
Oh, there you go.
And she said, that was another thing I did last week. So she said, I was going to roll my 401k to the new company because her division got bought out. And she said, but I'm going to roll it to you. And that was $500,000.
To make your minimum. Perfect.
Make my minimum. So, but not really. So, but yeah, if I hadn't been like that, she probably would have rolled it into her 401k at the new company.
Sure. I think people do things for lots of reasons. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all right, I gotta go.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Thank you, and I will talk to you, Nico.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Because I want to, you know, you bring a lot of energy and wisdom to the anything, and I think you'd be great up there sharing your story, and I think people listen and respect you. So.
Okay. Okay. I'll do my best. Thank you. I'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.